one of us, we look around at the things that's going on in this world and we can think, I wish things would be better. You and I, the things of God in our life, no matter what's going on in the world around us, it can be better than what it is if that's our hunger, our thirst, and our desire. And each and every one of us, you know, God has told us in His Word what is going to be required of us. And, you know, if we've failed on our part to do what God has asked of us or what we know is expected of a Christian, and then things are going wrong, don't blame nobody but ourselves. You know, we need to think God's going to pour His Spirit out and bless through our whole life when we're doing nothing that God's asking of us. And, you know, you'll find in the Bible where it proves our love for God. And people, a lot of times they, you know, they think, well, if I give $1 or I give $5 or whatever in the offering plate, you know, I've give something to God. Do you realize, and do we give 10% of our income, we haven't given God nothing. That's a debt we owe. When you go above that 10%, then it becomes an offering. Before, if it's 10% or under, if you're giving under 10%, and this is according to the Bible, you're not paying to God what you justly owe Him. And I can tell you from experience, you will fare far better in life if you give God 10% than you will to keep that 10% for yourself. I've had God make my money go beyond what it even should have. He multiplied it because we put it in the bank and then paid out bills, and the bills was greater than what, but yet there was money. You and I today, God is looking at our life and seeing how much do we love Him. We ask something of God, but how much do we give to God? You know, if we're not giving of ourselves to God, why should God be mindful of us and give us what we want? Christ denied His self. Can you think of it? What if, you know, if you would just think of some rich person in the world denying herself to do something miraculously for somebody else, but the richest man in the world can't even begin to imagine what Christ walked away from in heaven to come to be our sacrifice. And all He's asking of us is to have faith and believe Him. Put our faith and trust in Him. And I want to read to you something here in the Bible. I wrote down a few things here where I went through it this morning counting. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I would like you all, not while I'm preaching, but sometime this week, to read this entire 11th chapter. It's only 40 verses. But in this chapter, 17 times, God speaks, or the writer here, spoke about people that put their faith and trust in God in something. 17 times. Then 6 times, He was saying, you know, that because of time, He said, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell. And then He goes over and names 6 other big events where people's faith made a difference. But you and I want you to listen to the very first verses here in this 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Then if you'll go over to the first verse in the 12th chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, here in this, he's saying a great cloud of witnesses. Well, what's he speaking about? All of these that he had said here, and you'll find one of the first ones here that it mentions, said, by faith Abram offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then you go on down, the fifth verse, by faith Enoch was translated. Then the sixth verse, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Then you go down to the seventh, by faith Noah. Then to the eighth, by faith Abraham. And every one of these, they just had faith to put their trust in God, to work that was impossible. Why? Because they knew that they themselves wasn't able to do anything. But all it stands out in my mind so much as Abraham was there with his son, the offering man, on the mountain, and he told his son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Why? He didn't know what was going to happen. But he knew what God had promised. We're going to come through this very soon. You and I, he were going there in faith to be obedient unto God. You and I today, what is it God's asking of us? And we say, no, that's too much. We can't do that. But you and I today, God's not asking too much of us. It's the devil trying to make us feel that way because we're too much into self and not enough into God. And, you know, oh, it's something when we say, defending ourselves, I'm sick, or saying to try and keep somebody else from looking bad, they're sick, is the reason they're not in church. I've been told that so many times, and I knew within every fiber of my being, though it was a person supposed to be a Christian telling me that, I knew it was a lie, because there was something on the inside just telling me that's not right, that's not true. I might not be able to call them on it, but God does, and God's going to see what the truth is and what ain't. And you and I, you know, I've had people to ask me about children, grandchildren. I didn't know what they knew, but I wasn't going to lie for them. Because I don't know but what they might be setting a trap to see if I'm willing to tell the truth about the bad in my own family. You know what's the worst thing you can do? Is lie and try and cover up their sin, their failing, their shortcoming. Tell it like it is. Then the person will know that you're someone that's dependable. And right here in that, here, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You and I, just think of when we stand before God and we have to give an account. What these men, look back there in the Bible, these are men, they did not have the grace of God that we have today dwelling on the inside. They didn't have that comforter that we've got on the inside to lead us. So how do we stand and give an excuse today? You think these men, looking at the situation that we have today, they would have loved to have what we've got. Abraham would have loved to be able to feel the presence of God pour over him like we can today. Having that Holy Spirit dwell on the inside. It might come and move upon them at a time, but then they would live empty. But God said, I'll fill you. I'll give you your heart's desire. God, give me some of mine this week. I didn't know that my prayers was already being answered. But I thank God, if we're patient and we're faithful to pray, my God, we're here. And He'll answer. He's just waiting on me and you to exercise the faith, to believe in what we're asking of God. You know, I wouldn't want anybody to raise your hand, but I'm sure each and every one of us here, we have some needs, some things that we know God's the only one that can answer and take care of. But are we praying and asking in faith and then proving God that we love Him by being obedient in what He's asking of us? Do you realize the life you live, somebody's looking at it and they're forming in their mind whether you're a Christian or whether you're a church member. And a church member gets you nowhere. Do you realize when I was young, and if you said you as a Christian, people would be careful. They'd watch around you. They wouldn't curse, all this, because that's a Christian. But they seem so much out of the world and the worldly church, people saying, I'm a Christian, and yet they live just like the world. Now, you have to live a life in front of them proving who you are over time before they'll start respecting you as being a Christian. If you read the same things they read, if you play the same music they play, you sing the same thing they sing, you speak the same language they speak, they hear you standing and laughing and listening to dirty jokes, all of this. You know, back years ago when I worked in construction, come lunchtime and we was sitting there eating, and these other men, they went all underneath this trailer, the tractor and trailer, the trailer part that we had for an office. They'd go underneath that and sit in the shade and eat. I was sitting out there and leaned up, probably far from here to the road from them, leaned up against a power pole right in the sun because I didn't want to be on that trailer and listen to the language they were speaking. And they made some comments and everything about me being out there all by myself. And I said, well, I don't want to listen to the kind of filthy jokes and stuff that you all tell. I'd rather be out here by myself. And they thought that was so foolish. Come up a thunderstorm, and we were building a Bassett Furniture Factory there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I was up on the, it had the second floor, and the columns going up with the steel coming out the top down is all formed and poured in concrete. And they had metal scaffolds setting up there, and the masons was building the outer wall out of brick. And between this, well, it come up this thunderstorm, and I mean, it was raining and pouring and lightning. It just flashing lightning one right after the other. And they all run and got underneath that trailer. And the boss was saying, cover up the wall, cover up the wall. I wasn't even a mason. But I jumped up and went up there with him and helped cover up that green wall. And we come down, and old guy said, I never seen anybody such a big fool to be messing around up there in that steel with lightning going like it was. And literally, They would light, and it looked like it was rolling balls of fire down that hollow. And I said, my God knew where I was at and knew what I needed to do. And I'd much rather be up there than under that trailer where you all were telling your dirty joke. You and I today, I put my faith and trust in God. I don't mind. If God needs me, I'll stand on top of a tall building. Hold on to a lightning rod in the middle of a storm. Cause God knows where I'm at. And it's my time to go. You give me a bed in the ground in a cave. You and I today, faith in God. Put it into action. Don't say I believe, but put it to action. And words don't mean much if we don't show forth that we're putting our faith and trust in God. You and I today, our God is still alive. And read this. Just what all these men did. And then see where your faith is. Do you have faith to believe even in the little things? You know, I can remember back as a kid, before I even was a Christian, us kids would pray for things, childish things. And because we come from a Christian home and been taught about God, I believe God answered those prayers to encourage us, to let us know. He makes a difference. But when I come of age, you know, my prayers didn't get answered like that until I got right with God. Each and every one of us, God is looking down, and the life we live each day is making a difference with somebody. You, people you work with, your children, your neighbors, somebody is looking at your life. And if we don't live our life for God, when our life is over here, we're going to stand before God without an excuse. Because just like what he said here, if you say, well, how can I believe? What's God ever done? Go back and look here. He was just telling you what a cloud of witnesses we got. Do you realize, as I was testifying there earlier, you know, I can say at least three times, God's lengthened my life. And I can tell you of a time or two that He spared my life when I was pure foolish. Young, had a Corvette, and I wanted to know what it would do. I got to 135 once, and I got to almost 140 another time. And I wanted to see if it'd do 160, because that's what it had on the speedometer. And I found out it'll go faster than I've got nerve enough to push it. Because at 140, it's just going like that. And I thought, if a dog runs out in front of me, they're going to pick me up out of all this fiberglass. I was afraid to touch a brake, because if one of them brakes had just grabbed a little bit before the other one, you don't know where you'd have been. I just let off and let that thing coast. It come down under 100 before I'd touch a brake. How foolish. God spared me through my ignorance and my stupidity. Don't depend upon that because you say, well, Herb did it, I'll be able to do it. No. I had some people that was really praying for me because I was lost. They was really praying for me. You and I today, you don't know if anybody is praying for you. Mine was good Christian people that, be quite frank, probably some of you all here is answers to their prayers, or if you live for the Lord, you will be. Each and every one of us, we've got an opportunity. Somebody, I said, is looking at your life. It may be your children that's looking at you. Are you being a true example? You know, well, let me just turn to it. It's in Revelations. I can find it here and know where it's at on the page. Yeah, when you get to the right place. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the 21st chapter of Revelation in the 27th verse. Now, last week I preached and gave you the definition of abomination. But it says, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. We just blink it a lie as if it's nothing. An abomination is something God literally hates. So if you're telling a lie, God hates you for that. Because you become what you are saying. In the eyes of God, our life is what God looks at, what He sees us as. He looks down, He sees an honorable and a righteous person. Or He sees a person that is dishonorable and a liar, a cheat. An abomination unto Him. Something He hates. His Son come and lived a perfect life among people. Even worse than a lot of people today, because He was among them that killed people by crucifixion. How cruel can that be? Today, we got all kinds of people that don't know God, wouldn't have nothing to do with God, and they think giving a man an injection in the arm to put him to sleep for eternity is cruel and unusual punishment. But they'll walk upon the blood of Jesus Christ that paid such a price of dying on a cross for me and for you. And right there in what I've read to you, your faith, if you got faith to believe God when you come before God and you ask something of Him. You want to be a Christian, or at least say that you want to be. You know, you got to prove it by exercising faith, coming out from the things of the world and being a separated people. You know, I see in a thing in the news where people are protesting because of some books that Christian groups are trying to get out, taken out of libraries, and yet the very ones that's forcing them to be in there will not allow them to be read at their meetings because they're too vulgar. But yet they think that elementary kids should be able to check them books out. Now, what kind of common sense is that? You and I today, we're living in a dark world. You want to walk in the light? You want to be in light? Get out of that. Pour yourself out of it. There's filth and all kinds of garbage. You know, that's the bad thing about, I don't have a smartphone. I got one of them dumb ones and ain't smart enough to really use it good. That's one of them flip phones. But there's all kinds of people. They've got a problem with pornography. And they carry around a smartphone that they can pull it up on at any time. And think, nobody knows, I'm just here by myself. But God knows. Do you realize for a woman or a man, either one, to look upon the opposite sex and have a bad thought in their mind sexually or anything like that, God said, you've done committed it in your heart. And you're going to stand before God and be judged for that. And the only way we can change that is come before God. True repentance. Put our faith and trust in God and help Him. I've had a problem in my life. Things that the devil has bothered me with. And I just had to set my mind and my determination that my flesh is going to overcome that through the grace of God. I put my faith and trust in God. I ask God, God, help me, Lord, that I might overcome this. It don't come in the first prayer. It don't come in the second. It comes in your determination and exercising faith in God. Believe in God will do that that you ask of Him. And He will. But we've got to do our part by faith. That makes the difference. The faith that we have to trust God. You know, I've had people to ask me about some of my own family. And it sort of hurts a little bit when you have somebody ask, and you have to say, well, they don't go to church with us anymore. They don't want to hear us preach. They don't want to have nothing to do with us. Won't even call you on the phone. Told you not to call them. You want to communicate with them, write a letter. I don't communicate with family that way. Oh, I'm so thankful God's never said, Herb, I don't want to hear your voice. Well, you get on your knees to pray and you find out what do you need this time. You and I today, God, He said, I sit closer than a brother. Oh, He does much more than that. He's far closer than that. He's within me. And He's there no matter when. 24/7. You call on God and He's got to hear. To hear your cries. He don't say, don't call me. But He says, I'm here. What do you need? You and I today, our faith can move a mountain. And I pray for some mountain to be moved in my children's lives. In my grandchildren, Lord, why I can't reach over. My words fall on deaf ears. But my God, He can shake their world. He can tear them up in the middle of the night. And you and I today, if we're faithful, it might take a while, but God can do it. And each and every one of us, we might think, there's no use in praying for that person. There's some people that I'm praying for that's not related to me, but they've come into the family and don't want to be there, I guess. But I'm praying that God will bring about the events in their life that will turn their mind and their heart to God. You and I today, I cannot control what somebody else does. I can control what I do. I can control what my response is to God. When God called me to preach, I thought there was no way I could do that. But God's been faithful to me over the years, and proved time and time and time again, He knows far more than me or you know. Now, granted, I'll have to say as I stand before you, I ain't talking about seminary preachers, but I have never met a God-called preacher that I didn't feel like that man could beat me. Not a one. But though I'm the least, if I'm obedient unto God, when I come and stand before God, heaven's still going to open before me. Why? I did what God asked of me. You and I, God did not say to be the best at what we're doing. Just be your best. I'm not in competition to beat somebody else. I'm in competition to beat me. Put me in my place, that I might be what God would have me to be. And to do that, we got to kill this old man. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Only way we can do that
is through faith in God. You cannot be obedient unto God without putting your faith and trust in Him.
Abraham back there. God asked something to Abraham, and Abraham could have said, well, now, God, how are you going to do this? You promised this was going to come through Isaac. Now, how can I take him and offer him and you keep your word? You lying to me? Abraham didn't say that. Abraham got up, done everything exactly what God asked of him. And when he was put to the point, his son said, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God did. But he waited till Abraham went so far as to draw the knife to take his son's life. You and I, sometimes God, he waits to see how faithful we are. But isn't it wonderful to know he always arrives on time? I've had the devil to say that to me, literally. When I had that 100% blockage in that main artery on my heart, it hit me right there in the yard. I called upon God. God put the veins on my heart that I didn't have before. Spared my life. I lived for 6 years with that totally closed, and they only opened it then. Not because that part of my heart needed it, because of another part needed it. I've had the devil to tell me, well, if God was really what He should be, He could have kept that from blocking anyhow. He could have, but I'd have never known what a miracle working God we have. If He had kept it from blocking, I wouldn't have known that. But when it blocked it, He put the veins on there that's linked to my life. I know that. I felt when God touched me that day, you and I today, the devil said, oh, if you was living where you should, that wouldn't happen to you. God sometimes brings us to that door to let us know He is God and we can put our faith and trust in Him. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, please, exercise faith. Don't let your children see your lack of faith. Because, you know, you and I, now granted, my dad, he had a father that was very evil. Killed a man, spent 14 years in prison for that. Lie like a rug, as the old saying goes. Even told lies on Dad. And, because Dad was a preacher. And you know, I never heard my dad criticize his dad and say anything bad about him. Pray for him. That's what he say, pray for him. He's just living the life the devil wants him to live. There was all kinds of things he could have criticized his dad for, but he respected him because he said that. He was my father. And until his dad went to prison, he worked and provided for him even when he had a broke back. Broke his back and he had his daughter tie a board on him every day and strap him around and go into the mine working. With a back broke. He didn't go to the doctor. He didn't know. He just knew his back was hurt. When he got old, he couldn't straighten up. If you seen him sitting in a chair, you didn't realize how bad he was. But when he stood up, he was bent over at the waist. I was a kid, and I thought, boy, I'm taller than he is. But I wasn't. Just because he was bent over that low. As far as anybody knows, after all that suffering and everything in life, he's in hell today finding out what suffering really is. You and I today, please, I beg you, don't let the devil talk you into neglecting the plan of salvation and the faith God wants of each and every one of us as a Christian. While we sing, will you come? It's your choice today whether you want to live for God or not.
And a wonderful thing about it, it can be a life of faith that can change not only your life, but those around you. Please, I beg you, will you come? That's exactly what you need to do. The world cannot lift the burden of sin off of you. Only God can do that. Anyone got a word, anything on your heart real quick before we close?